So I became your neighbor. I'm assuming people live around here. Maybe you don't, but at the end of 2010, I moved here, not from far away. I moved here from Jamaica Plain, but I might as well have been moving to Mars. I only knew West Roxbury for the sewing machine repair shop that my mom was always raving about. So that was 6 years ago, and I wasn't sure it was the right decision. My things arrived in one of those pods that you see, and I hadn't seen those things for 2 years, and I'm a serious nester. So what I want to talk about today is the arc of transformation, especially when it doesn't look right, when it's not really what you ordered, and it feels more like loss after loss. Also, what steadied and still steadies me through it. Three things in particular: returning or practice or routine or ritual, others, and expression or creative work. So prior to that, let's go back to 2007. Life was pretty good. In particular, I was upping my spiritual activity, and I did that by attending the Cambridge Insight Center, Cambridge Insight Meditation Center, weekly. I'd meet with a group of people, we'd meditate and have lunch, and I had confidence that really that and other spiritual efforts would serve me well. And I thought because I was being good that I would get what I wanted. So instead, after some nice things, some little boons were granted me, things kind of began to unravel. And I thought I was these certain things. I don't think that anyone in the audience doesn't know what I'm talking about. These are ordinary human life experiences, but this is what I have to draw on, so I'll share from that. I thought I was my partnership, where I lived, what I did for work, how much money I had. You know, I thought that these things were, I was kind of like in the phase of life where I thought I was like nailing those things down. But they started to kind of like shift and sort of start to dissolve. And they started to drop away in a way that reminds me of how a spacecraft, you know, it's like this big thing, NASA, you know, sets up this whole launch and, you know, the spacecraft goes out and, you know, everybody's watching and it's this amazing thing. And then it's kind of going through the atmosphere. And then this big part of it, you know, that it thought was it, sort of falls off, you know. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought that was who I was, you know. And then another piece falls off, you know. And it turns out that it's designed to do that. But, you know, the spacecraft doesn't know this, you know. I mean, obviously, I'm sort of anthropomorphizing a spacecraft right now, but and you know, it doesn't necessarily know why or where it's headed or what's going to happen next. It's just losing parts. So basically, my relationship ended, which meant dissolving a home and the friendships that surrounded that relationship. My finances got tenuous. My confidence definitely plummeted. And then kind of the crowning blow, in my mid-30s, I had to move in with my parents. And I thought that was going to be for 2 weeks, but it was 2 years. And, you know, actually that turned out to be a very beautiful unfolding. Like, I thought that would be kind of the third ring of hell. And it turned out that, like, the love that I was seeking was, like, it was already there. It was just not where I thought, and it didn't look the way that I wanted, but it was there. And then there were a couple of deaths. A young man I was working with was shot, and an old friend took his life. And so it was sort of like more parts. You know, these I consider these relationships to be parts. And so needless to say, it was a very disorienting few years, and I'm sure many of you can relate. So throughout this and prior to this, there were certain things I was doing that helped me. As I mentioned, I was going and sitting on a meditation cushion with a group of people, and mostly I was crying and really suffering a lot on that cushion. It didn't look pretty, but I was showing up for that. And I was also meeting with a group of women, four women. It was ostensibly a women's business group, but basically, like, one of us would end up falling apart, and, you know, it was more like a therapy group or something. But I was showing up and being seen and recognized, much like you're doing here today, by people that become familiar. Even if you don't consider them friends initially, you start to kind of see each other and learn to tell the truth as well. I also didn't feel much like doing anything. Getting out of bed was challenging. I did find, though, that there was one thing I just kind of felt like doing, and it was to make a series of ink drawings. I have some visual aids here, and I can pass these around in a moment. But so they looked something like this. These are the nice ones, but I did hundreds of them. I don't know if you can see these very well. They were abstract forms, a little bit like a Japanese brush painting. But I had a stack of paper and some ink and a brush, and I found the repetition of that to be very soothing, something I've always returned to. I was also staying in contact imperfectly with something through the use of words out loud or in writing. You might call it prayer, but what was happening for me was over that period of time, I had less and less of a sense of what it was I was praying to. I started out with all sorts of theories and ideas about that, having studied it in school. And yet, as my expectations were disappointed and the twists and turns looked less and less familiar, the communications and the petitions I was making were sometimes very angry, were in my own words, and it was the action itself rather than what I was communicating with that seemed to be helpful to me at that time. So at some point, I brought something to this group of women, a little PowerPoint, essentially, where I had paired up these drawings with some of the words I was using. And I'd put the words in a sentence. So I'll pass these around now. There's something on both sides of this, because these are actual pages out of my book. Some of them are from the newer, but you'll get the idea. I should only have passed around one of these, but anyway. So I brought this little PowerPoint where I had paired up the words and the images. And it was really the only thing that was holding any interest for me. And to my surprise, they were very responsive to what I had brought and very interested. And so I had just moved here and just started taking stuff out of storage, and they essentially invited themselves over to help me revise what I had done and keep it moving, because I had said, you know, this might work as a book. I don't know. I've never done an art project as a book. And they basically said, we all kind of want a copy of this, so we want to come over and help you make this a thing. So it was like that group energy, that witnessing that actually made me take this seriously. It wasn't really something that came just from me. 3 years later, in 2013, after a long journey that I won't get into, it did arrive as a book, which is called Contemporary Prayers to Whatever Works. And 2 years after that, to my utter surprise, it became a second book with different imagery. So there are pages from both being handed around called Help Me Do the Thing. There's an image right in the middle of the sentence, which is in place of a word like the word God, which a lot of people have a real problem with. And to me, is just kind of the ultimate placeholder. So after about a week after I moved in, I lost my part-time job that I had gotten as a framer. And that really felt like the rug being pulled out from the rug. I mean, you can hear the self-pity, right? I had this great new place, and I just worked out the right amount of money to do the down payment, and the whatever it's called, that extra month of rent and all of that. So I had figured out how I was going to tenuously pay my rent, and then I lost this job. And again, it was like, as one woman I know said, like, what is love doing here? What is love doing here? It didn't feel like love. So that spacecraft kept hurling onward, and new things kept dropping off. So one thing that then happened that year was I applied for, there was a submission, a call for proposals at this thing at the Museum of Fine Arts, and 6 months later, I was called back in. It was that week I got laid off, and I ended up having, a year after that, an exhibition at the Museum of Fine Arts, working with like 100 middle schoolers, and I was just, and they paid me. I mean, it was like unbelievable, the most incredible thing, honor that I've had in my career. And that came after those losses and after those things were removed. So again, what steadied me is something that I repeat or return to, a walk you might take, a spiritual center, a morning routine, something that's just mine, works just for me, is nobody else's business, what that is. And as one person has said to me, make whatever that practice is or your practices are fit you like your favorite sweater. It's for nobody else to decide. And others, a gathering, even people you don't get to choose, witnesses that help me see what I can't, are a truer mirror of where I'm at, and in a way are a deeper part of myself than even what I see in the actual mirror. And those people are also changing. They don't stay put. They get busy, they move away, they die, they grow apart. Sometimes it's wonderful things happen, they have kids. So since I moved here, I don't see much of those four women. One of them actually became the designer of the cover of both books. But, that group of people morphed and changed as well. I've met some of my closest friends since that move. And one of my dearest mentors and advisors at the Insight Meditation Center passed away very suddenly in the middle of all of this. What I find myself doing now was kind of alluded to in the introduction, but I work with others in groups. I'm working on a third book. This one's about the periodic table of elements, which, how did that happen? I've discovered this love of science in the middle of it. And I'm collaborating in fascinating ways with spiritual communities and art communities. So the third thing that steadies me is the expression piece, either saying out loud what's true, writing those words down. Often it's letting myself be seen when I'd rather not be seen. Maybe it's drawing a line or 10,000 lines, making sounds. The spacecraft has a purpose. It might not even be the one that the folks at NASA had in mind. I don't know what my purpose is, but I know what feels right today in a different way than I did in the middle of that time. However, the change keeps happening. Sometimes it's an expansion, and the things that are familiar start to get strange again. So it continues. Those parts were no longer needed, and so they were shed. And one way I've heard it said is that the bad news is that we're all in free fall. But the good news is there is no ground. And it turns out that the thing that you are can float, relax, and open. What looks like loss becomes an alive, fluid presence, and it is the unfolding that you are. So again, it became the foreword of the second book, but it was read by Steve earlier. Stay here, quivering like a ball of mercury. Thank you.